April Fool's Day sermon for Easter. And then I found out about every other pastor in town is doing the same thing. So there's nothing new. The whole idea of April Fools came out of the early church. That God played a trick, and he won. As heavy rains persisted in the days leading up to May 31, 1889, members of the South Fork Fishing and Hunting Club in Pennsylvania, which had many famous members, one of them being Andrew Carnegie. It was a rich place, okay? Members of that club, which owned, this club owned the land around Lake Conemaugh, noticed that the decrepit South Fork Dam, which held back the waters of that lake, they noticed that the dam was leaking more and more. And they tried to clear spillways to alleviate the pressure. But as the deluge persisted, and a deluge that dropped 12 inches of rain in 2 days, they realized that it was a losing game, and they sent riders downstream to towns so that people could be warned of an impending flood. But the messengers were ignored. No warning was ever issued. Some people heard the water coming, and they could get out of the way up the mountainsides. But Johnstown didn't hear a thing. And the horrific wall of water that occurred when that dam broke and roared down the valley with the front, the wave being 60 feet high and filled with whatever debris it picked up, including trees and houses and railroad cars and locomotives. Well, that all slammed into Johnstown with cataclysmic force, and at least 2,209 people died. It was the worst disaster to that point. Maybe only surpassed by the Twin Towers in 2001. The word went out, but it was ignored, and people died. Over some 20 years, Dr. Larry Nassar sexually molested the young female gymnasts who came to him for treatment. Some of them were Olympians because he was also connected to the U.S. Olympic team. Hundreds of girls were assaulted. Some spoke up over the years but were not believed, or they were told to just keep quiet. Most did not speak out for that very reason. They suspected they wouldn't be believed. But finally, someone believed them, and Nassar was brought to trial. And earlier this year and at the end of last year, as many of us watched, almost 200 girls were able to confront him at his sentencing, and he will spend the rest of his life in prison. But because people didn't believe those little girls and those women, or act on obvious warning signs for that matter, the lives of many women will be scarred for life. Now, that was a really depressing way to start an Easter message. The Johnstown flood and Larry Nassar. But I have a point. Several people came running back to Jerusalem with news that Jesus had risen from the grave. And their message was dismissed as foolish. So it's appropriate that on April 1, we have Easter on April Fool's Day. The first time since like the 1940s. So listen to our text today. It's not going to be on the screen because it's pretty long, but just listen. Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day raised again." Then they believed his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, Jesus' disciples, and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Well, for a lot of people, the resurrection still seems like nonsense. But the truth is, we know what the truth is. And we celebrate that on this resurrection day. Paul told the Corinthian church, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." Yes, what we believe is often seen as foolishness, but for those who are saved, it is the message of hope and joy and eternal life. So for the next few minutes, there are several things I want to point out here. And the first is, sometimes the good news will be disregarded because of the messenger. We need to be ready for that. If we're the message taking the good news and we are disregarded, it's okay. We're in good company. These ladies here in this text were the first ones. Like the young gymnasts in the Larry Nassar case, were disbelieved because of who and what they were. These women, who had joyously rushed back into Jerusalem with news of a resurrected Lord, that were dismissed simply because they were women. What can women know? Women just get hysterical. They're just getting carried away with wishful thinking. What kind of message can a woman have, especially when men are there to set the record straight? That's the way women were regarded then, and all too often it's still how they're received. What message could a woman have from God? Well, on that very first day of a resurrected Lord, they had the good news of the empty tomb directly from the mouths of the angels of the Lord. They got the first word. So we too will be regarded as foolish messengers. Many people today are certain that what Christians are celebrating on Easter is a foolish fabrication that's no more than a fairy tale. It's wishful thinking. Of course, there's no God. And if he did exist, people certainly don't come back from the dead. Not only that, we will be derided as crazy and stupid and silly. That's okay. Foolishness in the eyes of the world is the hope of that same world. So go forth with the message, people. Augustine said that these women who came back with the happy message of an empty grave, he said that they were apostles to the apostles. He said they were messengers to the messengers. So don't be frustrated to the response to your belief or to your message. Just persist with the truth. Live the truth, and the truth will prevail. Another thing that we see here is that the disciples just weren't in the mood to believe. And you can understand that. Can you blame them? They'd heard the reports. Maybe they had even watched the crucifixion from a safe distance, because you remember, they ran off. They took cover when Jesus got arrested. But they knew, even whether or not they saw it for themselves or whether or not they heard the reports, they knew the truth. Jesus was dead. You didn't survive a crucifixion. Get used to it. And besides, they said, we're too depressed to hear this kind of nonsense. Well, we've talked about this before, but we need to be reminded of the mental and emotional and physical and spiritual state of the disciples. They were wrecked in every way. In 1 week, they had gone from the high tide of Palm Sunday, the high tide of the certainty that they would be in Jesus' cabinet when he took over as the true king of the Jews. They had gone from that to fearing for their lives at the hands of Romans who dealt viciously with insurrectionists. They didn't mess around. In just a few days, they had sunk from the spiritual mountaintop of Jesus' teachings, because a lot of the teachings that you find in the Gospels were from that last week before Jesus was crucified. They had gone from that mountaintop to having all faith dashed to pieces as their rabbi bled and suffocated to death on the cruelty of the cross. They were totally and completely emotionally and mentally and probably physically spent. They were all in. They were in a mood. There was plain and simply nothing left to believe the delirious message of the women who had just returned from the garden tomb. That's what the Greek was the original language that these were written in, and the word from which we get nonsense or foolishness from, that is from our text, is the word from which we also get delirious or delirium. Have you ever seen someone who is delirious from fever or from some kind of medication? Emily could tell you about this. As she was waiting for Fiona to be born, she was on a medication. She's turning red right now. But she usually she wants to be in charge of her faculties. She said some funny things at that point. Kathy claims that when I came out of the anesthesia from having my wisdom teeth out, that what I said wasn't wise at all. People that are delirious from fever or medication, they make no sense. And truly, what these women were saying was nonsense. And this is how the disciples received the word from the women. And just, you know, give them a break. They were capable of little else. They had seen their hope die on a cross. They were in no mood to believe. And in our jaded world, it's not a wonder that people are not in a mood to believe. They are every bit as mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually spent as the disciples. And even if one wanted to, believing that God exists takes just too much effort. And to think that such a God loves them and has a wonderful plan for their life is just too fantastical to believe. One would have to be delirious to accept that, right? And then the way that people who call themselves Christians behave sometimes just puts people off, puts them out of the mood of believing in what is being taught. But on the small chance that it's all true, who wants their style cramped like that way, like that anyway? I mean, seriously, who wants to have their style cramped by believing in God and having their lives change? But the point is, at some point, everyone who chose to reject the good news of the resurrection will wish they had been in the mood to believe. It'll be at that point that they realize that they're the ones that fell for nonsense. And that brings me to my final thought. You see, there's always room for doubt. There's always room for faulty decision-making when God is left out of the equation. The Jewish people rejected the possibility that Jesus could be Messiah because a crucified Messiah was incomprehensible in Jewish thought. The teachers of the law taught that anyone hung on a tree is cursed. In fact, it was in the law. Anyone hung on a tree is cursed. For the Romans, only a lowly native of a conquered province could be crucified. A Roman citizen was too good to be crucified. If they needed capital punishment, they had the honor of being beheaded instead, okay? Crucifixion was a horrible and cruel punishment that was reserved for lowly people. It was a curse, just like being hung on the tree for Jews. So Jesus couldn't be God if he died that way, right? You have to be a fool to believe that, right? And if one decides to come to what the world sees as a rational decision that there is no God, or at least they have no need for a God, that would prove that someone is a fool, right? That's how many think. That's the conclusion of those who reject the Bible. And it's considered wisdom. And I guess I would have to agree. I mean, I would have to agree that that is worldly wisdom. Because I agree with Paul, who quotes Isaiah 29 when he says, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." And then continues with, "Where's the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" It turns out that God was so crazy about us that he went to crazy ends to make a way for salvation to be available for whoever would be foolish enough to accept it. So that's how it's incredibly appropriate that on this day, which is April 1st, which in every other year is known as April Fool's Day, and Scotty already told me that my shoes were untied. On this day, instead, we have Easter. Easter on April Fool's Day. I'm a fool for the risen Christ. Whose fool are you? Amen. Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your foolishness. Thank you, Lord, that you had a plan for people who had no hope. Thank you, Lord, that we can be fools for Christ. We think of all that you went through for us, for the peace that you provided, for the joy that you provided, for the hope that you provided. It seemed like that was all gone, and you restored every bit of it. And we know, Lord, that we will still, according to Peter, have to suffer grief sometimes and struggles sometimes and maybe even persecution. But we know that our hope is sure. Because of your resurrection, we have the promise of a resurrection. We have the hope of eternity. Lord, thank you for bursting from the grave. Thank you that our Redeemer lives. We bless your name. Amen.